And welcome into the Thursday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I do have a question. Oh, these headphones are different. It sounds different.
Ear mics?
Is this Chase's?
I think so, yeah.
Wow, it's like a really crisp, well, fancy.
So he's been saving the good stuff for him.
I sound really good to myself right now. But I do have a question. I know we've been told many times by radio folks that we should talk more about the equipment in the studio, that listeners really get into that. Why won't this won't bend? See how yours is, like, this is just straight up, my microphone.
I don't know. We might have to take a look at that.
Yep, we'll have to investigate.
Do a bit of digging.
I mean, I can still do it like this, you know, but it probably should be like that, right?
I mean, I don't think it matters.
Like, it's tilted toward you.
Yeah, I don't know who's sitting there. Maybe D-Mace? Derek might have been sitting in there earlier.
So,
power tool? Person?
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see.
So he did this. He also has this butt heating pad in this chair.
A lot of leftover D-Mace in here.
D-Mace DNA in here. But, yeah, I like Chase's ear things.
Ear mics?
Yeah, ear contraptions.
I just like calling them ear mics.
Ear mics?
Yeah.
Ear mics.
Yeah. Okay.
You start
talking about a microphone. I was like, well, it's not that, but we'll go with it.
Yeah, yeah. It's a really, like, rich,
mahogany,
crisp, yeah, sound right
that's
now.
Good.
Man,
that's good.
I hope it sounds like that for the listeners.
Ian, how we doing? What's going on?
Doing good. The sun's coming up a little bit earlier and earlier these days on the way in. Some beautiful sunrises starting to pop up. We're getting there. Summer is right around the corner. I don't know, April went by really quickly.
It really did, yeah.
I don't know if it's because of the draft and we were just so swarmed, but it's already almost halfway through May.
I know. It's crazy. And we got the playoffs still in full force in the NBA and the NHL. Mikko Rantanen, a hat trick last night for the Stars. Apparently, he's just going to score a hat trick every game now. We'll see how that goes. And how about those New York Knicks, baby? They're up 2-0 against the Celtics. You're not a believer yet.
It's insane. I mean, I didn't watch a lot of that game. I watched the fourth quarter. I could not believe what the Celtics were doing. I mean, they just do nothing but jack up three-pointers.
Three-point.
They are, what, 25 for 100, I think, in two games? That's not good.
It's not a good percentage.
That's way too many threes, and they just keep launching them. They're already the test case for, like, okay, are we 2-3 crazy in the NBA? And, I mean, look, I'm not sad that they're losing. I still somehow don't feel – I still can't believe that they're going to lose this series to that Knicks team. It's hard to believe, but maybe they are. Meanwhile, my Leafs are
Leafs are in good shape.
My Leafs are cup bound. I just want you to know.
Leafs are in good shape.
Like everybody at the Athletic, I think I'm the only person at the Athletic who picked them to win it all. And whoever editor saw that I picked them probably laughed at me, and I cannot wait to gloat. 1967.
I mean, I did think last night, you know, they're up 2-0 in the series now against Florida. I was like, this is setting up for a really painful loss for Toronto.
Probably.
We'll see how it goes. See how it goes. But yeah. Pretty good start for Toronto.
They're good, man.
They're good. We'll see if they can finish the job against Florida. The Eastern Conference final of the New York Knicks and the Indiana Pacers could be riveting, though.
Like bring it back old school.
Yeah.
That brings me back.
It does.
Bring it back old school. And I tell you what, if my Warriors are still, they would not mind that being the Eastern Conference final.
No, they would not. No doubt about that. We got a lot to get into on the program today. Gentry Estes from the Tennessean will be with us. It's 7 o'clock. We'll go rapid fire with him on Preds, Titans, and a nice little weekend series coming up between Tennessee and Vanderbilt as well. So looking forward to that. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us at 8 o'clock for his weekly visit. We'll get into all things Titans and the National Football League with him. Take your thoughts in the meantime. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. Joe, you want to start today with a little Tom Brady talk. So Brady ended up on Logan Paul's podcast, not Jake Paul, because Jake Paul is spending his time fighting people in the ring, but Logan Paul, his podcast, and they talked about a wide variety of different things that went on throughout Tom Brady's career, but the subject of Shedeur Sanders and his slide in the draft came up, and as we know, Tom Brady is part owner of the Raiders, and According to the Raiders, and Mark Davis talked about this before the draft, and different members of the Raiders organization have talked about this. Tom Brady, he's going to be pretty involved. That guy's going to be involved, and if we're thinking about drafting a quarterback, well, we'd be stupid not to involve Tom Brady in those discussions. But Skip Bayless put it out there that basically, here was the tweet, quote, "It is now pretty clear Tom Brady, who mentored Shadur, told the Raiders not to take Shadur." Duly noted. That was what Skip Bayless put out there. So that came up on that podcast with Logan Paul. And Brady went on this long rant about the media and how the media could just throw things out there, and says, quote, "That's the problem with the media. Everybody can just say whatever the F they want and get away with it. It's kind of unfortunate because there actually used to be a lot of integrity in the media, and there's way less now because everyone needs crazy voices to get heard. It actually probably hurts a lot of relationships, which is not the goal of broadcasting. It should be to develop and cultivate some problems and solve problems rather than critiques. I want people to offer solutions." That was the quote from Tom Brady. So your thoughts on Brady, his appearance on Logan Paul's podcast, and his insistence that he was not a part of any evaluation process that involved Shadur Sanders sliding and the Raiders passing on him.
I now wish this was my rant. First of all, did he just say that garbage that you just said, or did he actually say, no, I didn't have anything to do with it?
He said, quote, "I wasn't part of any evaluation process."
Yeah.
We have a little bit that Stillman played yesterday.
Okay.
Of Brady.
Let's hear it.
This is what we have.
"It's a good question. I wasn't a part of any evaluation process or to
Skip Bayless says
that.
Otherwise.
No. Well, everyone's got that's the problem with media, is everyone can just say whatever the fuck they want. I actually texted Shadur because I know him very well. And I said, dude, like, whatever happens, wherever you go, like, that's your first day. Day two matters more than the draft. I was 199.
Yeah.
So who could speak on it better than me? Like, what that really means. Yeah. Use it as motivation. You're going to get your chances. Go take advantage of it."
Go at your boy.
Yeah, so first of all, Skip Bayless, I don't really, follow many Skip Bayless tweets. I have no problem with what he tweeted. It's an opinion. He's not reporting it. It's an opinion. He said it's pretty clear that Brady told him not to take Shadur. Like you said at the top, the Raiders made it very clear they're going to lean on Brady, especially when it comes to quarterbacks.
Yeah.
They had ample opportunity to take Shadur Sanders. You're telling me that there's just – Tom, what do you think of Shadur? No, don't ask me. Earmuffs. Really?
I don't want to be involved.
And what the hell are you talking about? There used to be a lot of integrity in media. It was an opinion. There's way less now because everyone needs crazy voices to get heard. It probably hurts relationships, which is not the goal of broadcasting. It should be to develop and cultivate and solve problems. And rather than the critiques, I want the people to offer solutions. Oh, really? It's not supposed to be to cover things and to have honest opinions about things at all? No, it's just about to be friends and cultivate relationships. That's what you do when you go out on your little things with Fox and, like, mix in with the mixers with everybody with their neckties and their shrimp cocktail and whatever the hell you do out there. This, if you're going to be in media, you should have any clue about what media is. What the hell is he talking about? He's just saying a bunch of words because he got pinned down on something that's obvious, which is he told the Raiders don't take Shadur Sanders.
Yeah, I mean, look, either one of two things is true. Either he was a part of the process that involved the Raiders passing on Shadur Sanders several times, or he was not involved and the Raiders are just a bunch of liars. They're like, yeah, we could ask Tom Brady about maybe what his opinion on quarterbacks are, but why would we do that?
We forgot to ask him about Shadur. We asked him about Dylan Gabriel and Quinn Ewers. We forgot to ask him about Shadur. Oh, that's right. You mentored him. Oh, we wouldn't ask you about that. I love how he texted Shadur, dude, I was 199. Like, go be motivated. If I'm Shadur, I'm like, yeah, well, what the hell happened with you? Like, what? Like, what did Shadur text back? Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, appreciate it, man.
Appreciate it, GOAT. It's weird how you guys didn't pick me, ever. I mean, it's a joke. So, again, I mean, Skip Bayless, I mean, I don't love – we talk about the screaming like I just did. Arguing aspect.
Good start.
Yeah, aspect of media and how it can be annoying. But, like, the idea that this is – there used to be a lot of integrity in media.
That's what he said.
So it basically, anyone who's not critical or ever tries to find out truth about anything, those are the people with integrity in media.
The integrity in media stopped when they thought I flattened all those footballs. That was it.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. They should have been trying to build a relationship with me and offer solutions like, here's how the ball will feel good in your hand without you cheating. But instead, they tried to cover the story.
I mean, here, I just want to read the quote from Raiders general manager John Spytek. I think this was it from an Athletic article very recently, right before the draft. It says, quote, "We're going to lean on Tom as much as we can." That was from Pete Carroll, and this is what John Spytek said. "When we're looking at a quarterback, we'd have to be fools not to involve Tom Brady." It's like, okay, there you go.
After the draft, oh, folks, sorry, we're fools.
We're idiots.
We were fools. We forgot. Gosh darn it.
I mean, every now and then, like, look, I still largely like Brady. But every now and then it's okay just to be like, yeah, took a look at him and just didn't feel like he was a fit for our team. Like, we all know you're involved. You don't have to sit there and act like you weren't. Like, it's okay. We get it.
Yeah. I mean, he immediately deflects and goes to the whole, you know, texted him and stuff. And it's just, it's, you're asking people to be incredibly stupid.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We are off and running on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts all show long. We'll have the best and worst things in sports coming up later this hour. So we'll go ahead and take your best things and your worst things. Coming up next, an update on the L'Jarius Sneed situation that Paul Kuharsky threw out there yesterday. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com, who was with us yesterday on the program, put this out there yesterday afternoon, the latest on the L'Jarius Sneed situation. I'll read the first couple of graphs from it, and then, Joe, we'll get your thoughts on everything going on here. It says, quote, "While L'Jarius Sneed waits to see if a grand jury indicts him on a felony charge of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon connected to an alleged shooting on December the 6th, 2024, his attorney has denied the claims against him in a related civil suit. The criminal charge has been officially filed, but no date has been set yet for the grand jury hearing in Dallas County, Texas." PK's piece goes on to say, quote, "Sneed said, if anything happened, it was all the doing of the person with him, who is characterized by the defendant's, or excuse me, by the accuser's attorney, Levi McCatherine, who Jared had on the show a few weeks ago, as Sneed's, quote, personal assistant." So there you go. You've got now a grand jury. They're waiting to see if they indict him on a felony charge of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, which is connected to that shooting. And Sneed apparently putting it out there that if anything happened, it was the doing of the person who was with him and not him. So that's where things currently stand. And as PK points out in the article, criminal charges have been officially filed, but there's no date yet for the grand jury hearing on that front.
Okay. Well, that's it's going to be interesting to see where things go on the criminal front. You know, you got the million-dollar civil suit, too. If anything happened. If anything happened to happen while I was in the car, you know.
I did find that phrasing interesting. If there was anything that went down, it was not me.
Again, it's kind of like, you know, like Brady. I mean, I don't know. Just we just happened to never talk about Shedeur Sanders. It's just so weird.
Boy. The Sneed's lawyer in PK's piece, Michael J. Todd, had this quote. Quote, "Defendant is not liable as alleged by the plaintiff because the alleged conduct was the criminal act of a third party. The alleged acts, if any, were performed by John Doe without any assistance, encouragement, or direction by L'Jarius Sneed." That was the quote from Sneed's lawyer, Michael J. Todd. It's what he wrote in the original answer, the defendant's original answer, dated back on April the 21st there. So, there you go. That's their position at the moment.
All right. That's going to be interesting. So, meanwhile, Sneed available?
Yeah, apparently so. He's at they began their phase two of the OTAs this week, and Sneed was out there. He was in that video of the tug-of-war competition that the Titans put out there earlier this week.
I missed
Sneed
that.
Is out there, yeah. It was an intense tug-of-war out there.
You know, I do wonder, like, if this all this stuff didn't happen, would he be there?
I don't know. That's a good question. I wonder that too. Like, we had a question on the text line from Mo that says, are you guys surprised that Snead was at voluntary OTAs? And frankly, I'm like, with everything going on, no, I'm not really surprised that he's in voluntary OTAs. Like, number one, he's hurt all year last year. So, like, I'd probably like you to be there after that for no other reason than that.
Sure.
But when you got all this stuff going on, if you want to just throw, like, a bad look with the organization on top of it, I know it's voluntary, but it'd be nice for you to be there at that time.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's the right move.
Yeah.
For sure to be there, so... Yeah, and I don't have a great feel for, like, what this could mean. Of course, obviously, we also have the whole question of the NFL. I mean, I have to assume, you know, a lot of times these things end up getting, you know, they get to the plea bargain situations. There's enough, it seems to be, enough reasonable doubt on exactly what went down here, enough lacking clear evidence of what exactly went down here, that there's probably going to be some kind of a plea bargain that won't involve jail time. And then the question becomes the NFL and what they'll do. I would guess, I mean, he's probably going to get a game or two, right? Something like that. That would be my guess.
That's my guess at this point as well. But, you know, how quickly does all this come together? You know, it's, you know, when there is finally a date associated with, you know, the grand jury and the felony charge. I mean, that's a different thing than just the civil suit. So how does that all come together? Like, it's going to be interesting to see the timeline of all that, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess it's possible that you bump into and you don't have a resolution by the season. Is it something where you're going into the season doing this stuff and then you get a late season, you know, the Titans are fighting for the AFC South title and you get a late season suspension? Yeah, that'd be a tough
pill to swallow at that point.
But if L'Jarius Sneed, you know, he's participating in things right now and he's going to be healthy. Obviously, this is a terrible situation here, but I mean, to me, if you're the Titans, you need help, and you've paid him well to help you.
Yep. Let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Jared in Spring Hill. Jared, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning. I don't really know I know how I feel about this need, and I just think it's unfortunate, and he got super lucky that nobody was physically hurt, and in my opinion, you can't really just throw your arms up and be like, well, it wasn't me, I was just there along for the ride. Like, no, you are pretty culpable and implicated as well, and they're probably gonna come after you more than anybody else. And it seems like you're just kind of trying to create a fall guy or some type of something out of this. But I'm glad to see that he's volunteering and things, he's trying to make up and pay for his reparations here. But also too, on the Brady quotes about, like, how the media can just say whatever they want. Well, whenever I was growing up watching ESPN 20 years ago as a child, you know, younger, you know, there was actually journalists that were on all the panels and all the shows. And so there was real journalism, but now they just flooded the shows with ex-players and egomaniacs who've never really been able to handle a lot of criticism. And then whenever they say things that are outlandish, well, then you're coming after them and their well-being. And, like, it just seems like a lot of the media outlets have sacrifice pure journalism over, well, let's get in an ex guy that knows what we think, knows what he's talking about, and those types of things. So I like this. I would love to see real Capital J journalism come back, like Capital J Joe. All right, well, hey fellas, have a great day. Tighten up.
Thank you, Jared. Appreciate it. I mean, like, it kind of goes back to the Skip Bayless part of this. Like, Skip Bayless, do I have a lot of problems with, like, how sports have been discussed over the past, I don't know, 10, 15 years. Like, First Take kind of changed that stuff, right? Like, it was Stephen A. Smith and Skip Bayless and, like, the arguing and screaming back and forth at each other.
Who, by the way, real quick, both of those guys are whatever, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, they grew up in newspapers and newspaper columnists and eventually got to TV and started doing that
stuff.
Right,
but I think we would all agree that the style of how these shows have now been presented has changed dramatically. Like, I remember, you know, some people liked the show, some people didn't like the show, but I remember waking up as a kid on Sunday mornings and, like, the sports reporters would be on. And that was – I found that, like, John Saunders was on that. It was really good. And, like, I just really enjoyed that show. Like, you know, Around the Horn has been a quote-unquote – debate show, and pardon the interruption, has been a quote-unquote debate show, but it's not really the same thing. Like, it's different than what it's turned into.
I mean, Stephen A. and Bayless, just with their personalities, and just to me, both of them just have gone into, again, I don't pay that much attention. I'm kind of speaking out of ignorance. But, like, I feel like both of them, certainly with Bayless, like the LeBron stuff, they've gone into this, like, here's some crazy takes that I'm going to throw out, and then I'm going to die on the hill. But, yeah, those shows you're talking about, Around the Horn, which unfortunately is going away. Yep. Sports Reporters is a great show. It's just conversation. That's what we do. Talk shows are a conversation. People are like, well, we've gotten away from facts. And no, I mean, there's still facts and actual journalism going on. I promise you. I mean, here's my little athletic sweatshirt here. Like, it's what we do every day, you know. But, yes, their, like, opinion has, I think, on TV especially, that is where it has become. But, like, sports talk radio has been around for how long now?
Long time.
40 years?
Well, look, 50 years? To be fair, like, there are some people around the country who – probably don't do things the right way and just throw stuff out there and see what sticks to the wall. But that's not generally the way that things go.
No. And, I mean, here and there in this market, in any market here and there, you'll see someone who is doing that. And typically they don't gain much traction, is my experience. Like, if you're not going to do it the right way and actually, like, you know, talk to people and, like, do the stuff you're supposed to do, then you're probably not going to gain much traction. Some people try it.
My favorite part about that the whole exchange, though, was like Brady is the media now. Like, he's in the media.
Yeah, he's but he's paid just, a lot of money. He's trying by to the cultivate media. Relationships and offer solutions. No critiques. I mean, William Titan just doesn't understand what I'm saying, but he continues to blab on the YouTube chat.
Hey, keep him coming on the YouTube chat. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Joe, there's been a position group with the Titans I've been whining about for a while that I'm wondering if they may have solved. We'll get into that. Coming up next, we got the best and worst things in sports at 6:45. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get-it-all. We'll have the best and worst things in sports coming up at 6:45. Gentry Estes from the Tennessean will be with us at 7. We've got a lot of things to get into with Gentry, so looking forward to that conversation coming up in just a few minutes.
Ask Joe, Gentry, okay, what he thinks of William Titan. Gentry, your thoughts on William Titan?
Keep the YouTube chat coming. It's good stuff.
He's just a fan. Now, we've gotten to the point of, oh, well, I'm just a fan, so you just think I'm stupid. Okay.
Is that your William Titan voice? I like that.
I guess.
That was good.
That's how I imagine William Titan talking. I'm sure he has a fine voice.
William Titan, let us know how you talk. 615-737-1025. Our phone number.
Call in so I can yell at you.
So, Gunnar Helm, selected in the fourth round by the Titans. I'm very intrigued by him, Joe. He's a 22-year-old kid and had his production in college at Texas really spike this year. So, his first 3 years at Texas, he played 12 games in 2021, did not have a catch in that season, played 13 games in 2022, 5 catches, 44 yards. 14 games in 2023, 14 catches, 192 yards. So you're talking about throughout his first 3 years, not getting a lot of opportunities offensively, and he had 19 total catches in his first 3 years of college. And then last year, 60 catches, 786 yards, 7 touchdowns for Gunnar Helm. So an explosion in production for him and an explosion in opportunity for him last year as well. So the Titans have taken him in the fourth round. You know, I've been whining about tight end for a while. I've said, you know, at some point here, you know, Chig is fine and Josh Wiley's fine. Like, they're decent players, but neither one of those guys to me are like legitimate starting level tight ends that you really have to worry all that much about if the opposing defense, in my opinion. So the question is, what is Gunnar Helm? Like, can Gunnar Helm be that at the next level? You know, I just mentioned the college production. It really spiked this past year. The interesting thing about tight end, and we'll see how this continues to evolve as they become, you know, more and more a part of offenses nowadays. But, you know, we've talked about this all the time. Travis Kelce was taken, I think, was it 63rd overall? George Kittle was taken 146th overall. You know, Sam Laporta in Detroit was in the second round, 34th overall pick. You know, Tucker Kraft in Green Bay, third round, 78th overall pick. And all those guys. Now, you know, obviously Kittle and Kelsey to an extreme level. But, like, Laporta is a huge part of what Detroit does.
Yeah.
Tucker Kraft is a huge part of what Green Bay does. Like, there's a lot of really good tight ends in the league that have been identified and found later in drafts. So, you know, fourth-round pick for Gunnar Helm, I think most people look at fourth-round picks and they say, okay, well, if that guy could become, like, a starter, that would be great. That's awesome. But we've seen, like, third, fourth, fifth-round tight ends come in and not only be starters, but be, like, impactful players in this league. So how do you view Gunnar Helm, his production at Texas, and what you think he could be at the NFL level?
Yeah, I mean, you'd love to, you know, end up with one of those stories. It is amazing how most of the best tight ends, like Tony Gonzalez, is he a first-round pick?
I believe he was.
Gates was a high pick, too. You know, but the guys you mentioned, certainly Kittle and Kelsey.
Yeah, Tony Gonzalez was taken 13th overall.
Yeah. So that happens, too. But you're talking like the best tight ends. Some of the best tight ends of all time have been, you know, more like middle-round picks. Look, I've watched Gunnar Helm a lot last year. I think he's good. I think he definitely has a chance to emerge maybe this season, you know, as tight end one. Again, you know, depending on your scheme and what you're doing out there, like how much two tight end are they going to run this year,
right,
and stuff like that. But I think that he's good enough for that. I don't know that, you know, like his athletic, like his measurables and stuff were not great. Like you said, his production took a huge leap. I think he's a good player. I'm looking at Brugler, you know, his Brugler's all around evaluation. Basically, needs time to adjust. Has the toughness, pass catching talent to potentially become a three down player. Could be a mismatch weapon. Lackluster combine performance is going to give NFL teams pause. You know, maybe he could have gone higher and things like that. I think he's good. I don't know that I see this difference-making problem for teams that some of those guys you mentioned are. You know, Laporta, just like what's-his-name, who the Lions had and they traded him in Minnesota, just like
Hawkinson,
so many guys,
yeah.
Like there's the – and just like Kittle, like the Iowa tight end thing is it's crazy. But I don't remember Kittle being like the insane talent in college. You know what I mean? Sometimes you just don't – I mean, obviously, I can't sit here and pretend like I even watch Kelsey at Cincinnati.
Yeah.
But you watch
and
him.
And let me be clear. Like, I'm not trying to say that Helm has be Kelsey or Kittle.
Right.
But can he be, you know, a starting-level tight end that is a legitimate starting tight end that's a legitimate threat out there?
Yeah, and I'm just saying, like, for example, those guys, it's not like – obviously, if you had any idea what they were, they would have gone at the top of the draft.
Exactly, yeah.
And so I'm watching Gunnar Helm, and I think he's a good player. I think he's got good size, skill, moves well. And sometimes it's just like you don't – it doesn't all come together. Or you just don't know what it's going to be at this level until you're actually at this level. But I like the pick. And I do think that he should at some point be their best tight end.
Well, and I do wonder, you know, are we going to see less of, as the years go on here and the passing game continues to just be the what is really valued in the league? You know, are we going to see less and less of finding these tight ends in like the fourth and fifth round because people put a premium on it? Like, you know, it's not wide receiver and it's not edge rusher and we're certainly not quarterback. But you could, I mean, you see it. It's tight end is really important in the league right now, right? I mean, you know, Colston Loveland was just drafted high. Tyler Warren was just drafted high. And those two guys, I think, have a chance to be really good players. But, you know, I think back a couple years ago when the Final Four was what? Detroit, San Francisco.
Yep. Kittle, Laporta.
And then you had
Kelsey,
Kansas City, and Mark Andrews.
And Andrews.
Yeah, I mean,
no, obviously,
the quarterbacks are really important to that. But think about how important those four tight ends were to those four teams, right? Like it's a big deal to have a high level starting tight end.
Yeah, it is. And so, you know, like, do you have to have it? You can't be successful without it. No, but I feel like just about every good team in this league has at least a good tight end. And I think that's what that's – and, again, we haven't focused that much on it because of so many other deficiencies with the Titans, but it is. It's a big deal. I mean, again, think about – I mean, they were terrible 10 years ago. They had one great player, right? It was Delanie Walker, but then he was a big part of – as they emerged, yep. You know, they started running the ball and all these other things got into place, offensive line. Delanie Walker was very important to some really good teams.
Well, yeah. And frankly, like, you're looking at their receiving core right now, right? And you've got Ridley – you've got Lockett, but Lockett's going to be 33 in September. We've talked about his production's going down, which is fine. Like, you brought him in, and you're not paying him that much money. And I think he's a good guy to have in the room. But, like, is Lockett going to give you much more than, you know, 45 catches for 600 yards, which is right around what he had last year? He's probably not. So, like, of course, you want your two rookie receivers that you've drafted to come in and make a difference for you there. And who knows, maybe like Io Manor comes in and he's clearly a player, like right from the jump, which would be great. But in the meantime, he's like, you're waiting on all your receivers to develop, and you're looking at, you know, what I still think around the league is going to be viewed as lack of legitimate good options for Cam Ward. It'd be great to have a tight end that you could throw the ball to kind of take some of that pressure off the receiving core as you're continuing to try to build that right now if you're the Titans.
Yeah, and so yeah, some of that is also, can he be on the field in any situation? That's right. Not always easy for a rookie. So, but, yeah, I think he can be a good outlet for him. By the way, thanks to the text line, multiple people, yeah, I was wrong. Gates was, of course, really good basketball player at Kent State. He was undrafted. Yep. So he was a heck of a college. Because we do, we actually say facts on this show, too, along with our opinions.
And when we get the facts wrong, sometimes we like to correct those.
It is a good thing to correct them, yes.
Good thing. Yeah, I mean, also, like, if Helm's good, then you can use – like, I still think Chig, when Chig catches the ball, which, you know, step one to being a receiving tight end, when he catches the ball, I still think he can do some good things with the ball after the catch. So, like, getting him in situations where he doesn't really have to be tight end one and is out there blocking, which at times it's not gone very well for him. Like, if Helm can be that type of guy, does that free up Chig a little bit in different situations and passing situations? Like, again, Chig is a fine player. I don't think he's a bad player. He's fine. Wiley, when he's healthy, is fine. But they need a little bit better than that at tight end.
Yeah.
And we'll see if Helm can do that.
I think he can be better than fine. I'm not comfortable going too much beyond that. But you know, you just never know with some of these guys, and they become, you know, standouts in this league. Good question by Dustin is, was Borgonzi part of finding Kelce? I'm not sure the timeline of Borgonzi. We can figure that. I mean, I don't know. I haven't heard or read anything specific about him being involved. Was he even there? We can look that up. A good point by them of Portland. With Levis, they wanted to get Helmerman to go with Levis. Very good. Mayonnaise puns are very welcome in the 6 o'clock hour.
Yeah, very nice.
Try mayonnaise puns, William Titan.
Well, I think, you know, Kelce was drafted in 2013, and that was, I believe, Andy Reid's second year with Kansas City. So Andy Reid had been with Jason Kelce in Philadelphia, and then – he drafted Travis.
But was Borgonzi there yet?
I think so.
I think he was.
I think so, yeah.
Well, then take credit for it, man. There
it
you
says
go.
He contributed to 12 seasons, 10 titles, AFC West titles, and that included 2010.
There you go.
So, yeah.
Borgonzi, not only has he found the next Mahomes, he's found the next Kelce. Good job, Borgonzi.
Let it go.
I think things are going to go well
quick
here.
Quick work in year one, baby. Attaboy. We'll have the best and worst things in sports coming up next. Gentry Estes will be with us at 7 o'clock from the Tennessee. And all that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
The best and worst of the sports week, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
On ESPN.
102.5, The Game, and The Game Nashville app.
It's time!
This is the worst.
You look like you're feeling sorry for yourself.
I believe in miracles, yes!
He's one of one. He is him.
This is a Coke bottle. It's not a crystal ball.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Okay, let's go.
It is time for the best and worst things in sports for this week. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Rex Road, kick us off with your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Best things, media lies. No, I'm just kidding. So how selfish can I be with best and worst?
I guess we're about to find out.
Yeah. I feel bad because I feel like I should be thinking of the greater good. But the best thing in sports is that the Golden State Warriors continue their playoff run. And losing Steph Curry, which really could be the worst in sports for me, but again, it's very selfish. I'm very worried about Steph Curry's hamstring. He's going to miss game two tonight. But we might actually get a fifth title, guys. We might actually get a fifth title. And I say we. I say we with a capital W here. I'm sorry. I'm just really excited about it.
Kuharski was all over you yesterday for your love for the Warriors. He was not a fan of your love for the Warriors.
Yeah, he just whines about everything. Kind of like other people I know. My worst in sports is SEC umpires. And I'm not trying to be like a total like Vols homer here. But I will say that when things like this happen, you know, of course, Vol Twitter is going to give you the Zapruder. Like, they're going to give you like full video every angle.
Oh, yeah.
It was unbelievably bad, this strike zone that ended up. And I know Tony Vitello loses his mind too much, and he can be a hothead out there screaming at everybody. But I got to say, he actually had beef in this game. Like, it was bad. Like, you have to have some semblance of consistency with your strike zone. So let's hope that we can get a little bit better umpiring for the big Vanderbilt-Tennessee series this weekend.
We will get into Vanderbilt and Tennessee coming up here in just a few minutes, part of what we're going to get to with Gentry Estes. So looking forward to that. Ian Safar, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
You know what? I think I'm going to go with Mikko Rantanen for my best. Back-to-back Hatties. Natural hat trick last night, although some of the goals, a little bit lucky. Last night, a little fluky. I saw a bounce or two, you know. But still, I mean, that trade for Dallas seems to be working out. Not so much for Colorado. He seems to be helping carry the team right now. So, way to go, Remax Rantanen. And
nice.
Worst.
Shout out to Stilly for that take.
Yes. And then worst, I'm going to go. I saw a headline about cutting funding for brain injury research this past week in some new congressional proposed budget. I don't know. I was reading how it could be very detrimental to high school and youth sports as far as just the brain injury studies. And yeah, I think we've been
making something we should be doing.
I think we've been making some pretty good progress on that. And to go backwards into, you know, I'll put that as my worst.
There you go.
That's a good worst.
My best thing in sports, the New York Knicks, baby. Up 2-0 against the Boston Celtics. I'm a believer. They're getting it done. I've talked myself into it.
Brunson's the man.
As the show's gone on. They're getting it done. They're taking down the Celtics. It's going to happen. We're going to have a sad Mike Vrabel in the stands at TD Garden when the Knicks ultimately get it done. Game 5.
We're going to end Vrabel's golf clapping. Maybe Vrabel, if you would show a little bit of spirit and heart when you're cheering for the Celtics, they might win.
My worst thing in sports, we have not gotten to this, and I think it's worth a mention. Brew McCoy medically retiring from the sport of football. It's not a huge surprise, number one, that he didn't get drafted. I didn't think he probably would, and obviously this is a big reason why. And Brew McCoy put it out there on social media the other day that he was medically retiring from football and is beginning kind of that next chapter of his life. I can say this, like, number one, I know, Joe, you know this from being around him, fantastic representative of everything that's right about football, and he was an awesome guy at Tennessee. And as a Tennessee fan, you know, one game that will forever be etched in my memory is obviously them beating Alabama in 2022. And the catch that he made to set up the field goal is one of my all-time favorite plays, like Hooker to McCoy to hold on to that ball to set up the game-winning field goal there, will live on in Tennessee lore forever. So congratulations to Brew McCoy on a fantastic college career. It's a shame that he's having to medically retire. My worst thing in sports.
Yeah, that's a good one. I will also say, you know, his statement, it was – did you see Ricky's quote tweet to it?
No, I didn't.
Ricky did the, you know, sorry about that, or I'm happy for
you. It was very lengthy.
Yeah. Yes. It was very lengthy, yes. But, nah, I mean, that play, man.
Put that one down a little bit, Brew. Concise. somebody's mad at you. JC in Goodlettsville says, good Lord, Joe. Did Vitello yell at the umps on the blown check swing that gave him game one against Florida State in the College World Series? This is from JC in Goodlettsville.
I mean, listen, I'm just saying that the strike zone in this particular game was, I mean, you know, Tennessee benefits and gets hurt by bad umpiring, just like every team. Okay, I the strike zone in this particular game was I have no idea what it was, and that shouldn't be the case. So calm down. I'm not saying that Tennessee always gets screwed or anything like that. This was a bad case of umpiring, and Vitello can probably use a little bit more discretion.
I don't know, man. Like
but it's kind of fun, right?
I enjoyed the each individual umpire.
Yeah, he went to each guy and gave him a
giving it to him.
And you, your shoes suck.
And now I'm going to second base. And now I'm walking over here to first base. It was pretty good. Like I enjoy. Like if you're gonna get run. Like get your money's worth out of it. I like that.
Yeah, I agree. No, he got the full.
I will say though. Part of what makes Tennessee and Vanderbilt baseball like so fun to watch them compete against each other is just like how totally different Vitello and Corbin are. Like they're just so different in the way that they approach. Both great coaches, both do a fantastic job in their own right, but they're very different.
Yes. Like Vitello, it's like as Corbin looks across the dugout, it's like he's looking at his weird nephew who really needs to calm the hell down at Thanksgiving.
Yeah, kind of. That's a good way to put it.
And he's like, could you ever the very serious, look, stuffy uncle in one dugout. And
one
the
thing that they
out of control teenage nephew in the other dugout.
I mean, one thing that they're very similar on is, I mean, number one, being good coaches, but number two, they're both unbelievably competitive. They just show it in very different ways.
Yeah.
But like I was trying to think the other day, is like, could I even envision Tim Corbin walking up to each individual umpire out there and like getting in their face? It's like, I don't think I can.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing. I mean, Corbin takes losing terribly, you know,
he's like Ryan
as
O'Reilly.
We've talked about. Yeah. But I can't. I mean, certainly he's.
I'm sure he's gotten into it with umpires,
but I can't. But remember,
not like, I don't remember one like that.
Yeah,
like, that was pretty wild.
Let's have more of that, Corbs.
We'll have Gentry Estes from the Tennessean with us coming up next. We'll get into the Preds, the Titans, and a little Tennessee Vanderbilt baseball with Gentry. All coming up. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.